Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Before we start today's podcast, a quick heads up on Sheerlux's VIP Club. From restaurants, bars and hotels to beauty, wellness and shopping, Sheerlux partners with some of London's best destinations and hottest brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. So why not sign up? It'll cost you just £5 a month or £50 for the year. Use your card once or twice and you'll have made that amount back in no time. For more information, visit sheerluxvip.com. The Sheerlux Highlights podcast with me, Georgie Korochkol. This week, I'm joined by Pascal Day, Laura Black and Georgina Blasky. Morning. I feel like everyone's quite chirpy today. The sun is shining. We're having this mini heat wave. By the time this podcast comes out, it'll be Thursday and it'll be a thing of the past, I'm afraid.
Oh, don't say that. I'm enjoying it. Spring has sprung.
I know, but just a little taster. It's just magic.
We drove back. We had a few days in the Cotswolds, which we always do at half term, and we drove back into London, and we were driving over Putney Bridge, and there are people in their shorts.
I mean, that's so excited,
don't they? But I was like, I want to crack open the rosé.
I know. I walked down the road near me where lots of cafes are yesterday, and there were loads of people sitting in the sun in strappy tops with Aperol spritzers about midday, and I thought it's still
really?
February. Are we there yet? But apparently we are.
I know, our spritz, we just get so excited.
I know. I did go out on Saturday and I wore like a dress with no like tights or anything like that, and it was fine in the day, but as soon as the sun went down, yeah, I was like, oh my god, it's freezing.
Like last night.
Yeah.
Absolutely freezing once we shut the back door.
Yeah, we were going to have lunch outside yesterday, and then I sat there in my coat. My husband was like, okay, let's go inside. I can't relax with you sitting here in your coat to have lunch. Anyway, let's start with a bit of TV. What have people been watching? Georgina, I know you've been away. You're sporting quite a good ski tan, so I'm not sure what you've got to add this week.
Not a lot, I'm afraid. I did catch up on the final, well, the most recently broadcast episode of Cold Feet. I don't know if it's the last one, but it's for anyone who's been watching it. It was very exciting.
Who is watching
Cold
Feet?
I don't know, but if you gave up on it, you made a bad choice in your life, because it's been, this series has been back to as good as it was in the old days. So there's a bit of a fallout amongst all the friends, and lots of romance, and it was really good. So I was happily indulging in that last night.
Oh, well, I do love Hermione Norris. I mean, she's not on our screens enough, actually.
I know, she's so I don't know why, because she should be.
Oh, she's great. I love her. Okay, Colby won't be following you down that road. Well, Laura, what about you?
I've hardly watched anything, but we were just chatting about watching, it's not very cool, but I watched the final of The Greatest Dancer.
Yeah. Was it finished?
Yeah, it was the final on set. It was the only one I watched, and watch any of the others, but I watched the final.
Straight in there, yeah.
You can't watch a final if you're not emotionally invested.
Yeah, I can't say who won, but I do quite enjoy watching Cheryl Cole dance, because they dance with their act.
I know, that's the bit about it I find a bit weird.
So like, she could.
Are you judges, or do you just want to dance yourselves?
Yeah, but I quite enjoyed that. That was the only reason I watched it. I love watching her dance. Yeah,
is she a good dancer?
She's such a good dancer.
Is she?
Yeah.
And the guy from Glee, amazing.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you what I watched at the weekend? Pitch Perfect, the first
time. Oh,
it is the best.
Oh my god, it's so good. Yeah, all the time. So a friend came round for tea last week. It was half term, so I did a few tea dates. And she came round and she said, I'm going to set up an a cappella group like the one in Pitch Perfect. I was like, hang on a second. It keeps popping up on my Netflix, things you might like to watch. So I watched it. Oh my god, I literally raced into the gym. I was so excited to watch the next installment. It's brilliant, isn't it?
So good.
So the end of the first one, you know, it references The Breakfast Club. So then my daughter watched the first one and was like, now we need to watch The Breakfast Club. So we've now entered in a whole St. Elmo's Fire.
Have you?
Ferris
That's
Bueller
cool.
world.
Oh, Ferris is, Bueller.
Yeah, it's really good. He's coming to the stage, you know, Matthew Broderick. Yeah, in a play called The Starry Messenger, which I think is starting in May. and it's got Elizabeth McGovern, the one who's in Downton Abbey, who plays Lady Downton.
Right.
So they're together in, so for any Ferris Bueller fans out there, you might want to
love
that
film. Talking of watching old films with your children, I have just started watching old films with mine, spurred on by Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and they wanted to watch it, so we put it on with Johnny Depp. I mean, Johnny Depp, one of the most incredible actors of our time, but he is not the right Willy Wonka.
I hated that.
Yeah, that was
sorry,
yeah.
I hated it too. And so anyway, we watched Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Charlie and Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, original. Yeah, which is still so good.
So good.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Although, do you remember The Child Catcher?
Oh, yeah.
Quite scared.
My children were quite scared back then. They're like, it's not real, Mummy. It's not real. No. Nope. And what else did we watch? Sound of Music.
Oh, please. Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, done Mary Poppins.
So good.
Other than old films, I also have started Dirty John. I won't bang on about it too much because Hattie talked about it on the show last week. But it's really good. Has anyone listened to the podcast?
Yeah.
I haven't. I'm doing it the wrong way around. But anyway, I'm doing it the wrong way around.
I've seen both of them. I don't mind the series, but I think the podcast is better. Obviously, because that's the real thing. But
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, it is interesting.
I'm loving it. Do you know what this is?
No, I was going to say, is it all right to ask what this is about?
So it's a new Netflix series based on a true crime podcast about this 58-year-old interior designer who falls for this guy she meets online, and within 2 months they're married, and he's basically a bit of a psycho.
She's really rich, isn't she?
And she's really rich.
Okay.
I don't know any more than that.
Right.
Other than I couldn't help myself but Google to find a real picture of him. He was quite hot.
He's not bad.
But it's sort of a bit like watching The OC. Like, it's not dark and eerie, and I quite like that. And actually, I think if my husband didn't know this was true crime, he would have said, I'm not watching this rubbish. Because it sort of comes across a bit like a sort of glossy film. Do you know what I mean? But actually, it's based on a true story.
Sounds quite on the street.
It's really good. I've watched 2 episodes so far. I love it.
How many are there?
8.
Yeah.
And do you know what I said to him last night when we put it on? I said, I love the fact that this is going to have an ending.
Yeah.
I'm slightly over these shows that you sit there and devote 10 hours of you're not going to get a resolution because there's going to be 6 series. I'm just a bit sick of that, actually. Anyway,
don't you think, like, the woman though, a bit naive? Maybe you haven't seen enough of it yet, but she just irritated me in the end. So I'm like, you need to.
But in the beginning, he's the dream. I mean, I've only seen two. He is the dream.
Like,
I'm not
giving
anything away. Unlike, I apologise to people that were listening to the podcast last week and were told by Pascal and Lou the entire plot of two different series.
I know.
I was listening to it going, what are
into
you
it.
Doing? Stop! Anyway, one was a film and one was you on a series.
Yep.
Anyway, Pascal, what have you been watching?
I haven't really watched much. I watched the rugby this weekend. Don't really know
that
what's
was a
going
bit
on.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like nothing happened for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And like, I don't really understand rugby anyway. I just know to cheer when everyone else is cheering. So I'm just like, hey.
Well, trial conversion. Just look out for those. Either touches the ground or it goes over the bar.
They're the good things.
They're the good things, yeah.
I also finished, which I know I'm very late to, Lou told me last week, is The Assassination of Gianni Versace. I finished it.
Oh, yeah.
Did you really like it?
Yeah, I liked it.
I quit.
Too gory.
But I think I quit too soon because apparently it does get really good. I feel like I need to revisit because I watched it and thought, oh God, we know what happens here.
Yeah.
We've seen it already, but it goes back to all the previous murders he committed.
And like
that's
his childhood.
I stopped. I found that a bit repetitive and just a bit.
I just found him
just
horrible.
Too dark for me.
Yeah, me too.
He's one of those real, like,
just
freaky psychos.
Yeah.
Compulsive liar.
I might need to go back to that, I think.
It was really good. Yeah, I'd say finish it.
I've also started The Homecoming with Julia Roberts.
Oh, I've heard that's good.
Yeah, it's good, actually, although apparently she hasn't signed up for a second series, which I never really quite trust. But I'm loving that it's half an hour. It's full
those.
Of suspense. And just having Julia Roberts back on our screens, it's obviously the day after the Oscars, and just seeing her last night up on stage, it's like, that's where you belong, Julia. I love her. She's my pin-up. Okay, well, from TV to podcasts, and a podcast that's also going to be turned into a screenplay is the one about the Theranos scandal, and Jennifer Lawrence is going to play the lead. She's going to play Elizabeth Holmes. She was the youngest female self-made billionaire. I think she was valued, or her company was valued, at something like $5 billion. She was on the cover of Forbes magazine. I don't want to talk about it too much because I did talk about it on the show, but it just blows my mind. I'm looking at you, Pascal, because you wrote this piece.
Yeah.
It's really incredible, isn't it?
It's mad. Like, I just can't get my head around it. I just don't know how someone has such confidence in something that just doesn't work.
And tell us what Theranos was.
Okay, so Theranos was like a company she started. She dropped out of Stanford University when she was 19 to start this company where instead of like taking blood from your arm, where it would be like really painful, you could just have like a pinprick and they'd take like a very small amount of blood and put it like in this little machine, and it would tell you whether you've got like any diseases or whether like early stages of cancer, that kind of thing.
Whether your cancer's back.
Yeah. And it would take like no time at all, like a couple of hours. But it just like didn't work.
It was something like tests for, it could run 100 to 200 different tests.
Yeah.
On your blood just from this machine, like there and then.
So I was reading this piece last night. I mean, this is literally right up my street.
You're going to love this.
Yeah. But I Googled her and she just looks so normal.
It's fascinating.
But
she adopted this persona. So it's really interesting. She was really inspired by Steve Jobs.
The turtleneck.
Someone commented on her clothing and said, oh, Steve Jobs only wore black turtlenecks. So she then suddenly started wearing only black turtlenecks.
She also adopted this really
weird
voice. The voice is so weird.
So weird.
It sounds like machine is talking. It's really weird.
But apparently
that wasn't her voice.
Yeah, it said that when she had too many to drink, there were times when her voice just went a bit...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and people who knew her from before were like, she never talked like that when I knew her.
So weird.
It's really fascinating. And you've got to listen to the podcast. It doesn't seem to have got to an end. I mean, she is facing up to 20 years in prison. I don't think the trial's happened yet. That's as far as I've got to. There are only 5 episodes in my feed.
I think there's 6 overall.
Okay, well, I don't know where the 6th is. I couldn't find it. Anyway, I'm hoping the movie will give me the ending. But it's just incredible how she conned all these people. She recruited Steve Jobs' right-hand man out of Apple. And he sort of forfeited thousands and thousands of shares that he had in Apple. I mean, the people that she recruited, so many people out of Apple. And ultimately, this product just did not work. She sold it into Walgreens. What I don't get is what she thought they were going to do when they opened these wellness centres within their stores with her product that didn't work.
No idea.
How did it get that far, though? How can you do that?
What happened is they raised so much money, and I think because it's science and medicine, as investors, they perhaps didn't understand the science behind it, but just assumed that somebody somewhere had done the due diligence to prove this thing. And I mean, Rupert Murdoch invested $125 million.
Oh my god.
Honestly, the people that invested, Bill Clinton was up on stage with her and he was like, well, the future's all right because we've got Elizabeth Holmes. But he basically was like, we're in good hands.
But it was never tested. It never.
I think just there was this snowball effect of incredibly high powered investors wading in with $10 million. And they just went, well, that person must have done the due diligence because they've invested. Do you see what I mean? Everyone just assumed that the person before
them. So scary.
Did she believe it worked and it didn't? Or did she always know it didn't work?
That is what I can't get my head around. In the disposition tape, she said, you know, I couldn't keep track of everything. Basically, there were all these people in the laboratory saying all these tests have come back and they don't work. And she was like, well, don't include that data in the reports. And they were like, were you not concerned that the rest of the data was faulty? I think she knew exactly what was going on, but I couldn't get my head around whether she believed it or not. At some point, that product is not just going to be a piece of paper. It's not going to be an idea. It's going to be something that has to work.
But also, it's healthcare. I think that's terrifying. Shocking. Then where's your kind of moral compass?
I know.
It's one thing to launch a product that maybe is fit for purpose, but
has
for
a finite
period of time. But when it's people's lives,
I know.
How are you to do that?
They were going to test it on like people who actually had cancer, and people in the company were like, this is really like morally dubious and I'm not okay with it. Giving like these people hope that had cancer or something like that.
Well, they tested someone who'd had cancer and the results came back so wrong. Like the level in your blood that would indicate that you had cancer was sort of 100 times higher than it should be, to be clear. One thing I did hear listening to the episode I finished this morning actually was that to make a change that kind of moves the earth in medicine takes so long. And actually perhaps she was onto something, but the company's obviously been shut down. She never had the chance. But then someone said there's a difference between a good idea and actually being able to make an idea happen, i.e. a car that could fly would be great. But that doesn't mean it can be done. Anyway, her being played by Jennifer Lawrence, I think, will be incredible.
Yeah, she's great.
Pascal, the spotlight's on you on this one.
Yes.
Because in your latest Millennial Problems column, you wrote about the taboo of not wanting children. And I'm glad you're with us today because I wanted to delve a bit deeper.
Okay.
It sort of fascinates me. And I think it's really worrying that the numbers are as they are. Mm-hmm. And I'll shut up in a second. But, you know, the birth rate in the UK is in decline. And last year, the US rate also hit an all-time low.
You said the other day it made you sad.
It makes me really sad.
It makes me really sad.
I mean, you're sitting here with three mothers.
Very true.
But you said, nice idea in theory, but much less fun and far more unpredictable in real life.
Honestly, I don't have much exposure to children. Like, I don't have any, like, younger brothers and sisters. I don't have any younger cousins, anything like that. None of my friends have kids, so I don't know any children. So I don't really know what it's like to be around them for a long period of time.
Stressful.
Yeah, from what I've seen, it seems stressful. But yeah, I'm getting to the age now where I think a lot of my friends are talking about it, because you have to start thinking about it. I mean, I'm 28 and I feel like you have to start thinking about it to make a plan for yourself at some point. It's just not something that appeals to me. Mm. Like, it's expensive.
75,000 from birth to 18.
Just for one child.
Excluding housing, childcare and council tax, it's 75,000.
Childcare, yeah. But I also think you're 28 and you said that you might have had a slight shift from 23, was it?
Yeah, anyway. I mean, like, you never know. I might reach my, like, mid-30s and be like, oh yeah, now I really, really want one.
Because I think
like,
I've got lots of friends that were probably quite similar to you.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think I definitely, 28, people are like, I can barely look after myself. Like, how would I be able to look after, you know, a small human being? And then they've kind of got to their early 30s and changed their opinion, and now they're either pregnant or have a baby.
Yeah.
And they might not want multiple babies, because I think even with one child, you can still sort of carry on your life.
The millennial generation now, I think, will see a lot of single child families.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, the reality cost-wise, mm-hmm. you know, what you can live in, yeah. I think just the chaos as well to your life. I think the millennial lifestyle is so appealing, and
that's how I feel,
child into that. I think with one you can keep that,
but when you start getting into multiple children, it becomes much more of a
But
then you're with the person you think you'll be with for a significant amount of time. Is that right to say that? And he's how old?
He's 35 this year.
So you're with someone who you think is your future. Mm-hmm. I think that's the difference in mindset. I think there might be people who, when I was younger, didn't think they wanted children yet, didn't want children, but as soon as they met someone that they thought was their kind of life partner, then that kind of changed.
Does he want children?
No.
So I think that's the other thing. If one of you does and one of you doesn't, and it's more often the woman who's driving that decision.
Yeah.
There are relationships where the woman isn't ready or just wants to wait a bit. And then obviously that's more complicated. But if you're both kind of on the same page.
I think if I change my mind in the future, I'm not sure he'd change his mind.
Oh, really? I was going to say, could you think he'd be swayed?
No, I think he's just not into it.
But men aren't into it. I had a family friend, friends of my parents, and he was adamant he didn't want children. Mm-hmm. She really did. And she said, okay, we wouldn't have children. And they eventually, it kind of broke her heart, and they got divorced, by which time she couldn't have any children.
Oh, no.
And he then got remarried to someone much younger, and she went, oops, I'm pregnant. And they now have three children. Father.
That's
and
awful.
His ex-wife, who was a really, really lovely lady, has lost out on, I think, kind of what we're put on this planet to do. But it's not for everyone. And I do accept that, by the way, anyone who's listening who's chosen not to have children.
Mm. I think it's weird that society has become so suspicious. I think there's a suspicion around people who don't want to have children.
I agree with that.
You don't want to have children. And the expression of being kind of childless as a woman.
Like a bad thing.
Like, we believe we're here to procreate the next generation. And somehow if you don't do that, whether it's, particularly if it's not a biological decision, it's an intellectual decision, then I feel like people are kind of somehow demonised, or people are suspicious. They don't know what box to put you in sometimes. And that just feels a bit unfair, because I don't think everyone necessarily has got that maternal instinct. I know there are certainly friends of mine who are much more maternal than I was. I always just assumed I'd have children, but I never sort of felt this, oh, I've got to have them. And luckily I did have them so quickly, it just sort of happened anyway. So I didn't ever have that big moment of, oh, will I or won't I, and am I happy to pursue?
But I didn't have that, I've got to, I always knew I would. I wasn't that person who was just like, you know, I work and I want to be more than just a mother. but the thought of not being a mother and the love. I mean, that's why we're here. Like, it's so cheesy, but love is what makes the world go round and why you get up every day. And
I think maybe I just haven't lived enough of my life yet.
I think you'll get to sort of a few years' time. I don't know if anybody's ever 100% said this. Yeah. It's such a massive life change. It's always going to be scary.
Yeah. My sister, I don't think she wants children either. And I don't think my mum wants either of us to have children. So I think it's just like a family thing.
Why would your mum say that?
Because she's just like, thinks that this is like a horrible world at the moment. She's just like,
I sat there with my husband yesterday. We were talking about Brexit and sorry to say the B word on the podcast, that's as far as I'll go, but I said, do you think we're going to end up as this power that ruled the world and now doesn't? He's like, well, that's what we are. And I said, but will we be that sort of sad country that's kind of left with no real future and we're bringing up children? Should we be moving to South America, to Brazil, to India? Should we be taking them to an emerging economy where they're going to have a brighter future? And I was like, what are we doing? And I totally have that worry about the world that we brought our children up to. Why you don't have children, I fully understand that, because that keeps me awake at night.
Yeah. And then it's that new generation that symbolises hope and the future.
Yeah.
And I think if you don't have that in a society, then you are in danger of stagnating even more. And I think, you know, the fact you've got all those kids last week out marching for climate change, taking themselves out of school, I mean, you need that hope in the future. And children were born within wars, and
you know, they've come out okay.
I think I just worry about the future of this country and what the opportunities will be for their generation.
So maybe a few people not wanting to have children then is a good thing, if there are going to be less opportunities.
I just think millennials are, and I'm, by the way, I'm not down on millennials, and I am by a year millennial, I'm really not a millennial, but you know, I think they are in really exciting ways kind of defying all the rules and the stereotypes, and there are such positive things happening for women. I just hope it doesn't get lost that actually I think the most rewarding thing I've ever done is have children. And
yeah, will you look back on your life and think, oh, I wish I'd written more features, or I wish gone to the pub more, and I don't know,
there's more to life than going out for brunch and having a lion and nice holidays.
And I think also, I was working out the other day that when my son, my youngest, leaves home, well, obviously he won't, he'll probably be living with me till he's about 35 and hopefully getting married and maybe having some kids.
I want to be a granny one day.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking I'll be 50, so I can then do my, as I love that reference to When Harry Met Sally in here, which is actually my favourite film.
Me too.
And yeah, we never go to Rome on a moment's notice. I'm like, oh my god, I love that line. And I was thinking, well, you know what, when I'm 50 I'll be going to Rome every weekend on a moment's notice if I want to. Can you have it all? I don't know, but maybe you can have pockets in your life where you're working hard and you're raising a family and it feels really tough actually, and it is hard and it is expensive, but then, you know, you get your little wins later and it's just like a constant flow up and down of being tired or not being tired.
Yeah. Anyway, if you had sat in our car driving back from the country yesterday and heard my children fighting,
you would have definitely said,
yep, no, I'm happy with my decision, and my 85% has gone back up to 100%. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
On the subject of parenting, I'm going to get myself in hot water today. I think I should gag myself for this next section. Because, Laura, you interviewed Brenda Hart, who is a qualified and professional nanny, about what to do if your baby struggles to fall asleep or wakes frequently in the night and needs you to settle him. She told us all about the importance of having a routine, what age you can start a routine, how long it takes, what to do if your baby is crying, etc., etc. It was a very in-depth piece. I am definitely of the Brenda school of thought. I look at you, Laura.
So am I.
It's not for everyone.
It's definitely not for everyone. I actually spoke to Brenda when I had my first child, and it is 100% not for everybody, but it worked for me. And she
disclaimer.
Yeah, exactly. She is hardcore, but she believes that routine is key. For any parent out there, she's quite Gina Ford-esque. I don't know if Brenda will like that, but she likes a routine. And she believes that once your child is heavy enough, or I think she says 12 weeks or 12 pounds.
£10, 10 weeks.
I think Brenda might be a bit more generous. 12 okay. weeks, 12 pounds. Your baby should be able to sleep through the night, maybe with a feed at sort of 10 or 11. And I have to say, it was hard, but my baby did sleep through at 10 weeks, and I'm forever indebted to this lady because she sleeps.
Because you have a routine. And actually, this is the key to going to the supermarket, Pascal. Okay. Because if they have a routine, you can put them to sleep, leave their father with them, and you can
go to the supermarket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2 hours in a day, you get your jobs done. But she is quite strict, and she doesn't have much leeway. The first time she came to see me, and my baby was really crying at lunchtime, and she sort of just walked out the door. And I was like, well, what do I do? She's screaming. She was like, well, she's fine. You just leave her. And it was quite hard. But you do, you know, the older she got, I realised when she was making noise because she was pissed off and when she was making noise because she was actually sad. And I kind of learned her ways. And she did fit into the routine pretty quickly afterwards. But I know I have a sister who works in a very opposite way, and I'm probably a bit strict. So I know it's not for everybody, but it was for me.
Well, I am in Laura's camp and the rest. I believe that a routine buys you freedom. You know, we are put on this earth to sleep through the night. We are not put on this earth to drink milk 4 times a night, or to get up and sleep in bed with our parents, or any of these other things. And I think as our parents, it's our job to train them. Gina's looking at me going, are you really saying this on a podcast?
No, no, no. I'm just nodding along. I feel exactly the same. I got the Gina Ford book and I started it too soon. And so,
do you know who Gina Ford is, Pascal?
I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
So
right
she
now.
Wrote a book called The Contented Baby Book, and it is full of, I would say, to the minute schedules, like 7 a.m. brush your hair and eat toast. That's for the mother, not the baby. But I think it's quite a controversial book, but it kind of works for some
people. It's most controversial because she's not actually a mother, is she? She's
a maternity nurse. Yes. She's looked after very, very young babies.
So they're saying, if your baby's crying in the night, don't get up. Just leave the baby to cry.
They're saying that at a certain age, we as humans are able to sleep through the night, and that you basically need to train your baby to do so. And the best way to do that is to put them in a routine, which means they are awake for a certain amount of time during the day and they have enough milk so they are not starving, ravenous in the middle of the night, and therefore they are more likely. And as the weeks go by, the routine changes and they have a bit less time asleep during the day and a bit more to eat, and you're basically building them up to be strong enough and big enough and old enough to sleep through the night without having to be woken up.
Yeah.
Without having to wake you up.
It's controversial because should you leave a baby to cry?
Okay.
But if you know your baby has a dry, clean nappy and has had their milk, you might still check on them. It's not like you have to not go in the room for 12 hours.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So you're not.
And there are wonderful things
for
video monitors now, so you can actually watch them.
But I did control crying, and I remember my husband would come home and I'd say, pick up the Evening Standard, and I'd just sit outside the bedroom flicking through the Evening Standard. And especially once they were a little bit older, and you know when their routine changes again and then they start waking up for other reasons, and I would just kind of do things outside the room so they could sort of know I was there, but essentially they were self-soothing and I was leaving them to cry. And I think it's definitely makes such a difference.
Oh, I remember sitting,
put the work in, and then
sitting on the steps outside Coco's room going, right, okay, she's being a pickle now. I've been in 3 times and picked her up for a cuddle. She just wants another cuddle, basically. Mm. So I sat on the step with literally a stopwatch, I think. Someone had said 10 minutes, you can give them 10 minutes. And on about minute number 8, she was still going, and I was thinking, it was like an hour, and you are hearing your baby.
And they're sobbing.
I mean, this is a
then suddenly asleep, like literally, and this was at 7:30 at night, and she was used to going to sleep at 7 p.m.,
and she just got overtired, so she couldn't stop. And literally, that was the last time she ever cried putting her down at 7. From then on, 7 o'clock, went to bed.
Yeah. It's meant to be a release, though, isn't it? When they cry, isn't there some kind of a way of self-soothing that they crying and they're kind of letting all that energy out, and then they exhaust themselves essentially, so they fall asleep.
Knackered and crying.
Yeah. The thing I would say is that I've had three babies quite close to each other, and with my first, I was very, like, literally to the minute, no, you cannot fall asleep here. You can't. I mean, when you've got your third, you can't because you're doing school pickups, and eventually they fall into it if you stick to it pretty loosely.
Yeah, maybe, there's routines and routines.
Maybe a couple of weeks later, but you know, he eventually got there, and I don't think you need to be quite as strict.
I agree with that. So like someone said to me once, who was an older mother, and I always write this in cards to new mothers, two things. One is that no one ever died from tiredness, and no baby ever died from crying. And
yeah,
remembered both of those things, and it kind of got me through.
They get there eventually.
Mm. The only emotion they can show is to cry.
Exactly.
So anyway, more sleep advice from Brenda. Visit brendathenanny.co.uk. Let's change the subject before I get into real trouble. Let's talk about how to curate your social media for employers. Because the reality is that whether it's LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook or Instagram, potential employers are going to go straight onto your social media accounts before you make a job offer. I certainly do. It's literally the first thing I do.
Do you do all of them?
No. I usually go LinkedIn first. Mm-hmm. I'm always interested to see if they're connected to anyone I know work-wise. And it just always gives you a very quick snapshot of where they've been, how quickly they've moved, what their education is. You know, CVs quite long and waffly sometimes. So I always do that. It amazes me how many people don't have an up-to-date LinkedIn profile. It's like your shop window. Yeah. I was also interested to see that in this piece it said that users with a profile photo have 21 times more views than members who don't.
I can definitely imagine that, though.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever saw a LinkedIn profile that doesn't have a picture on, I'm just like, no.
Yeah, you're like, is that the person?
Yeah, is that the person? Yeah. Is that real?
I'm with you on that.
Like, just why wouldn't you have one? Seems strange to me.
I think it's also just really key to remember that LinkedIn is a professional platform. Things like your profile photo shouldn't be you with a cocktail on holiday.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a CV, and I think that's...
Do you think it's okay to have a selfie as your LinkedIn picture?
No.
It has to be essentially
It's a headshot, isn't it, really?
You don't need to hire Nathan Pask for a, you know, £3,000 headshot. But, you know, just get somebody to take a picture of you against a white background or something.
Yeah, like I've seen a few selfies and I'm like, don't know about that.
Facebook, it said to set your profile to private. I thought that was a good one. And actually, I thought it was interesting to flag, like, the differences between Facebook and Instagram. And the point in this piece, did you write this piece?
Yep.
I really like the point you made about it being a good platform to showcase your personality and actually how it can help you career-wise. I guess it's difficult, isn't it? Because is it a personal thing if you're doing shots on a Friday night? Or is it something that is there to demonstrate your knowledge of the industry and to kind of curate a look and a feel? Difficult to know.
My friend is a model and she just has two.
Does she
has like her model one and then she has her normal one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's private.
That's what I've done for Instagram now.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I don't want people just peering in on my personal life. I think it's a bit weird. And I don't feel like I want my children plastered all over it personally.
Yeah.
So I set up another one.
Yeah. I've got the same. I was doing some parenting travel. It was for a parenting magazine. I was travelling and to be honest, it was the other way around. I was having to do certain numbers of posts and coverage and I just didn't really want to rub my friends' faces in. Yeah. Here I am in this amazing hotel. And it's kind of like, which I'm not paying for. And I just thought, I just don't feel very comfortable with that. And then obviously it goes the other way too, where actually I'm doing something, you know, with my friends and I don't necessarily want people who I work with.
Yeah, I think
Instagram,
that's a good call. Because again, Instagram is somewhere that I will always go to. So the two I will look at are LinkedIn and Instagram.
Mm.
And it can be really telling, especially in the sort of editorial team, I would say, that if somebody says they're a food journalist or an interiors journalist, you want to go and you want to see great visuals and that they've been to the right places and that they get it and that they're on brand with you. And I think you can tell so much. I think it's really good advice to have too. Mm. Twitter.
I just don't like Twitter anyway.
I don't use it anyway.
I just feel like it's so negative.
Yeah.
And it's just where people get into arguments. Mm. But that's probably a good place to go and see what someone's personality is really like.
Yeah.
I think it's the one that can go against you, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And I think, if I was honest, I would say I have definitely looked at potential employees on Twitter and seen some quite aggressive, negative comments. You know, people just almost picking fights. Mm. And I don't mean sort of scrappy thing. I just think attacking brands, attacking publications can become quite political and quite nasty and quite chippy, and you look like you're going to be trouble.
I think a lot of people use Instagram stories for that now, don't they?
Do you think?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do. If they've got like an opinion or a brand's not doing something that they like, some people will put it on Instagram.
So is there no digital... I know Instagram stories disappears after 24 hours, but is there any way, unless someone has filed it, you know, in the top, is there any way... as a viewer that you're able to access old stories?
No,
don't think so. No.
So if you wanted a rant, that is the
Because it was created on the Snapchat model, so you're in quite safe hands to vent.
That's my place to
on your Instagram stories.
But I feel like there's a real difference between Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is very much like, this is me, but Facebook, I only ever use it for my family.
I would just never go on Facebook.
I don't really go on it anymore, but that's just for my family. I don't want employees to see it because I'm like, that's really personal.
I think just that you've got to keep it quite private.
Keep it private.
I have like all my privacy things on Facebook.
Yeah.
In summary, I think the rules are keep Facebook private, get your LinkedIn in order, get a decent headshot, get it up to date.
And get a second Instagram account.
There you go. Simple as that. Let's talk about gossiping. Apparently, it's been proven to promote cooperation and boost your self-esteem.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about that?
I feel like this made me feel better about being a gossip.
I can't imagine you being a real gossip.
I don't think I'm a massive gossip. More with, like, friends stuff and family stuff. I just can't hold it in my mouth. I have to get that out.
I need to point out that the definition of gossip, well, as defined by evolutionary scientist and anthropologist Robin Dunmar, is actually the discussion of social topics.
I love that. I'm not gossiping. I'm discussing social topics.
I think the trouble is, more often than not, good gossip is negative rather than positive, sadly. There's something in us, isn't there, that likes to see stars fall and talking about other people in a slightly negative way.
But that's what they said in here. Like, it's more negative because, like, back in the day, it would be a way of, like, cleansing their social circle. Like, if there was anyone doing anything bad, it would be, like, you gossip about it and then you kick them out.
It did say here that, at best, gossip is used to strengthen communities... and it shows bonds being created between individuals. I did think it is a sign of being quite a good friend with someone, being able to gossip with them, isn't
That's
it?
What I think you need, like, a small group that you can offload to.
Yeah.
And then kind of be done with it.
I do think talking about other people, though, can get quite boring. Just talking about what other people are doing. I've definitely had moments when I sat down and thought, this is a really boring chat. I'd far rather talk about a film or something on TV or a book or an interesting business.
The idea that it's boosting self-esteem, to me, is that any different from when someone posts something mean on Instagram and then they put someone else down to make themselves feel better?
Mm.
So, you know, it's like the school bully who says something mean about somebody and then they walk away feeling better. So I think there's obviously that negative, darker side to it. But I think most people, you know, they're with a friend somewhere and they're just having a little rant. They're letting off some steam, like you say, or they're probably gossiping about something quite insignificant and it's just a bit of a bonding exercise. It's indicative of, like you said, the strength of your relationship.
Yes.
That you feel you can reveal your true thoughts about somebody or something that's happened.
I just think there's a difference between having a natter and having a gossip. And actually, I always think to be able to natter with someone, you need to know them A, well enough, or B, see them frequently enough.
Yeah.
You need to sort of say, how was that thing you did yesterday? Or what's that thing you're doing? You know, it's quite difficult to natter with someone that you don't see on quite a regular basis. But I do just so enjoy conversation.
My dad used to always say, talk about issues, not people.
Yes.
So when we were around the table, if it ever went on to people, he'd always try and bring it back.
Would he?
Yeah. And be interested and, you know, learn something.
Yeah.
Don't just talk about what other people have done.
Yeah, I agree.
Negative gossip can feel quite small, isn't it?
It doesn't make you feel good.
No.
And it's a very small conversation, really, that you're having, because all you're doing is just taking other people down.
But I think there's a difference between offloading. For me, like, you can have an offload to a friend and that's it. But I feel like gossip filters out because you want it to go to it.
Well, gossip feels damaging.
Yeah, exactly.
It also feels like you're getting a kick out of someone else's situation.
Absolutely.
Which tends to be a negative situation. Going back to what your dad said, my mother had a great friend who's quite sort of intellectual, round for supper once, and we were all sitting there wishing on about whatever we wish on. Not, it wasn't very interesting. Well, she didn't find it very interesting. She said, do you think we could change the subject? Do you think we could talk about the election? It was just before an election, and we then had this really great conversation, and I know, she was so true. We also, do you remember we went to Fortnum's before Christmas and they had that dinner party chat?
And it was to spark the topic.
So, and there's a game that I bought my husband, which is called Dinner Party Chat, and we took it on holiday with my parents and we pulled it out, and one of the questions was, which city would you like to live in the world? And my stepdad went first and he said Canada, and we said, oh, why Canada? And he started telling us all these stories about his time in Canada that we didn't know anything about, and it was just so fascinating. You know, you can have such interesting conversations.
I think it's such an easy option to talk about, you know, as you said, like something that somebody's done wrong.
Basically nothing.
But you can learn so much from talking to people, and everybody, no matter what their background, has got something interesting to say.
I agree.
So I just think, you know, you've just got to use your time with people to learn about them. I think it's people have always got an interesting story.
Me and Ollie played this game. We played it on Friday. We'd gone out for dinner. We'd had like a bottle of wine and we came back and we just put our Spotify on the big speaker. And then we each just pick a song and we're like, say why we like that song. And like, just going back really far. And it would like, this reminds me of when I used to like be in my room and my dad would come in, and like songs that reminds us of our parents and stuff like that. And that's
brings
really
back memories.
Love it.
Really,
it's
nice.
Like your own desert island day.
Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna play that.
Yeah. Just like, I know him so well, but you just always learn something new about each other. Yeah.
On Christmas Eve we had my in-laws to stay for the night, and we sat at the table, and my mother-in-law's Austrian, and I was like, tell me about your life and tell me what it was like growing up in Austria, and it wasn't long after the war, and we just, and even my husband was like, God, that was my mother, but I learned so much about her tonight.
And I always think you learn so much quite often when somebody's died, and if you could just ask them when they're here, it's so interesting to hear people's stories. I think you just need to.
Yeah, I was listening to something on the radio the other day, and the kids were in the car, and they're like, oh, not one of these talking radio stations. yeah, we're going to listen. And this woman was talking about history of spaghetti bolognese in the UK, and my son's like, really?
What is
and
very interesting.
Well, you just assumed it's come over from Italy, but actually, let's listen. Anyway, we listened to it, and I thought exactly what you just said, Laura. I was thinking, I really need to listen to my parents and hear what they know about their parents who are no longer with us, because, you know, in another 10 years, I won't be able to, what am I going to be able to tell my children about their great grandparents? And there's a lot of history there, and actually some really interesting stories. And
totally. And my granny is really, I mean, she's in a home and does not speak much sense anymore. And I just so often sit with her and I think, God, you're full of so many stories from the war and all those incredible things you did, and I would just love to absorb all those stories that you've told me in the past that I just don't remember, because once that's that generation then is, you know, moved on.
Well, hopefully we're going to inspire everybody listening to take their conversation, less gossip, more interesting conversation. Maybe we should start a movement. # interesting conversation. Well, this moves us neatly on to how to improve your IQ. Didn't they say that the most successful business leaders in the world read an insane amount of books? Doesn't Bill Gates read sort of 6 books a week or something crazy like
that? Oh my God.
Anyway, how does he have time?
Need that app, Blinkist, which condenses non-fictional books into, is it 20 minutes? I've got a great friend, she works for Google. She got me onto it. She said, by the time I've got to work, I've read 3 books every day. I went, what?
Okay.
She said, you need Blinkist. And I think the point about Blinkist is, apparently somebody said that non-fiction books can all be condensed into sort of 12 points. And actually, you know, the art of being a good public speaker or a good networker or being happier or whatever, ultimately they're kind of made up of a sort of dozen points, just really padded out into a chapter.
And that makes that. Yeah. Replace my podcast for a few days.
I listened to one on the art of a good marriage. It was really interesting. It was 20 minutes. It was a whole book, but I got it in 20 minutes. Anyway, we were talking about how to improve your intellectual quotient. It's easy to think your intelligence is a fixed number once you reach a certain age. But actually, there are plenty of activities that are proven to significantly improve your IQ, from learning languages to meditation. Sadly, I discovered that reading through this list, I'd done quite a few of these, or attempted to, and failed. I can play the boxer.
Wow.
But I think it took me 3 years at school and a big waste of money. crap at the guitar, crap at meditation. Despite doing a French degree, I'm pretty crap at languages. Yeah, I don't think I've got the patience for chess.
Can you speak fluent French then?
Rusty. The trouble with going to Paris and working for an international company is that whilst it might get you a job as a graduate, it doesn't teach you much French when the business language is English. It was useful, but not really when it came to improving my French all that much.
Okay.
Anyway, what else was on the list? The Mensa app, exercising.
I actually screen grabbed the Mensa app and sent it to my mum last night, having read this article.
Did you?
She'd love that.
So the Mensa brain training app.
Well, I think she just loves anything that like trains her brain.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, like little puzzles.
Yeah.
Anyway, it has challenging exercises developed by industry professionals to enhance fluid intelligence. There you go. Exercise, apparently.
Yeah, that was interesting. I've read things before about what to do when you get to a point that you've got dementia in your family or Alzheimer's or things like that, that after about 50, your IQ can diminish, so you should be trying to build it up. And I read about the languages and musical instruments, but I thought the exercise was really interesting.
So does that mean if you're not good at languages or musical instruments, then you're just not that bright?
Oh, is there a correlation?
Maybe there is.
Maybe there is.
I think musical people are quite bright.
Actually, languages.
Yeah.
Back to school.
I'd put science and maths in that camp. Like, yeah. I was good at English and history and things that I could learn. I could get my head around biology, but forget it when it came to chemistry and physics.
Yeah.
I was completely and utterly stuffed. Mm. You can't teach yourself these things. You've either got it or you haven't.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe it's the same with music.
Yeah.
Exercise. I don't think I could exercise any more than I do. So really, and I definitely not got the patience for chess. Do we have any chess players amongst us?
Oh, no.
No, I've got some quite prolific chess players in my family.
Could they not sit you down for a tutorial?
Fair back,
maybe it's in your genes then.
Fair backgammon.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah. I think I'll take up bridge at some point. Georgina, are you a bridge player yet?
Oh, well, that's an interesting topic you just brought up there, because we have this big annual road dinner at the end of January, and we were sitting down talking about it, and turns out there's a bridge movement in Wandsworth, and there's a woman who is running bridge courses. She sent me the link, and I was like, okay, you know, maybe this is something I should think about.
So I think it's a good skill to learn.
Yeah, and social.
Yeah, exactly.
And it'll give you something to do when you're old and doddery.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Oh, my God, completely. My husband's grandmother, she has the best social life, and she's 94, and she plays bridge twice a week. Yeah.
My granny's serious bridge player.
Is bridge a long game? I've never played, I don't know what it is.
It's a card game.
It's like Monopoly, like it goes on for a long time.
Very like Monopoly. I don't think anything goes on for as long as Monopoly, however. I don't think I've ever played a game of Monopoly that's ended.
Monopoly
Junior Monopoly, however, is brilliant.
Yeah.
It ends very quickly.
Yeah,
great.
It's like the abridged version.
Yeah. Someone had their head screwed on when they came up with that one.
Yeah.
The thing I think I was most interested on this list is adding creatine to your diet. Is that how you say it? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But research has shown that if you take 5 grams of creatine a day, you can bump up your IQ by a massive 15 points.
That's crazy, isn't it? Just by eating something.
I know. It said, known primarily as a popular sports supplement, studies have shown that creatine can significantly increase muscle mass and strength. And it can increase your IQ because it's key in lifting the energy levels that your brain needs to process information. I thought that was fascinating.
Can you give that to children?
I wonder if you can. But also, my son is dyslexic and struggles to process information.
Yeah.
So that's making me think, should he be trying creatine?
Mm.
Maybe. We'll see.
And then anyway. Really big and strong as well.
That'd be good. Already quite big. changing the subject altogether. Chances are you and your friends aren't in the market for feminine hygiene products. Sorry, you're probably regretting saying you do today's podcast. But while you might think you don't need them, they are getting more popular. I'm not involved in that we, but a few were put to the test. They included a soothe and smooth shave gel.
It's the charcoal mask.
A charcoal mask. I mean, please. Formulated in Singapore, this was apparently made for those suffering with dryness, aiming to rejuvenate and brighten the skin of your vulva. Who needs to brighten the skin of their vulva?
I was given this as a Christmas present.
What? Wow, weren't you? Who discovered it?
It was Jess in the office who gave it to me for my Secret Santa present, but I just can't bring myself to use it.
God, no. Did you open it?
No, I haven't opened it yet. There's never just a good time to use it.
Oh, it's vulva mask time.
There is one that I highlighted more because it's multi-purpose, which was the woo woo. I like the names. There's something called Furfa oil, something called the Perfect V Beauty Sheet, the Woo Woo Soothe It Chamomile Intimate Wipes, which said, we won't deny that these are easy to use and great if you want to quick freshen up. They can be used under your armpits too. I thought I was far more likely to use them on my armpits than my vagina. I'm saying the word now, Georgina.
Yes, that's a win.
For anyone that wasn't listening to the podcast a few months ago, Georgina told me off for encouraging my children to call it their back bottom. Front bottom.
Front bottom.
Front bottom. Anyway, now I have to keep saying vagina to Coco. We were on a bike ride and I was like, oh, this is really hurting. We went on a bike ride, day two of a family bike ride. And I was like, oh, this really hurts my front bottom. I couldn't say vagina from my cry.
Give it time.
I'm getting there. The only moment that I can imagine myself using these wipes is if I was at a festival and there was no shower.
Yeah. Isn't it like you're not supposed to use anything on it?
You're not messing a bit with Mother Nature if you get all these things.
Well, there is set to be a 10% increase in the sale of self-care products. But the takeaway from this piece was try to remember just how clever your vagina is when it's left to its own devices. Its highly effective self-regulating system isn't a myth. I didn't know it had a highly effective self-regulating system. It's true, and this helps keep it healthy most of the time without the need to douche, soak, and wipe out all the good microbes that protect your vagina. Done it. Anyway, do remember T's and C's. Do remember that if you are experiencing itching, burning, or redness, that you should see your doctor. Mm-hmm. Top hacks for long-lasting eye makeup. It seems a waste to artfully apply your makeup first thing in the morning, only to have it disappear by 3 p.m. Apparently, there are several things you can do to counteract the afternoon melt. Are there? I did try a setting spray the other day. That worked pretty well.
Did it? I'm quite tempted by a setting spray.
It's the Urban Decay one. That's the one everyone.
Yeah, that's one everyone. Yeah, exactly.
And you don't feel tight. It's not like a tightness on your skin.
Feel tight.
No.
Really, no. I might try.
That's
that.
How Maya felt when she used to use hairspray and.
On her face.
Teenager.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I didn't feel tight, and I've never used it before. People have always talked about it. People talk about it here. And actually, it was after the show, and I don't know if it was psychological, but I was like, oh, I'm sure my makeup's lasted really well today.
Okay.
So I found my eyeshadow does start to crease.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Any other tips people use?
I thought it was quite interesting. One of them said that they wet the brush. I thought that was quite interesting. I'd never do that. Try wetting the brush pre-application.
For eyeshadow?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
Mm. It will have a magnet event during and all of the colour pigment. I would just never do that.
Yeah, I would never think to do that.
It just goes on a lot stronger.
Yeah.
I washed my brushes the other day and it wasn't quite dry and I went to put some bronzer on and I was like,
Yeah.
I actually got a stripe.
Yeah.
More prominent than normal stripe down my face.
I use a Laura Mercier eye primer. So you just dab it over your eyelid and then put your eyeshadow on top.
So that there's
I use it every day, but if I'm going out for a long evening or if I'm doing something where I want my makeup to stay on, then it is quite good and it kind of stops it going into those little creases, the oily creases.
Yeah, I think when I do wear makeup, I do use a primer on my eyes, especially because I do like flicks. I don't really wear eyeshadow, but I do wear liquid eyeliner and that just helps it stay on. And if my skin's too oily, like it just doesn't get on there properly.
Yeah.
So, a primer, I think, works best for me.
I find with mascara, and I got this from Lisa, but I think she's here with Vaseline, but if you just put a tiny bit of water on your finger and then pad your eyelashes, it just softens them, and then you can put more mascara on, because you obviously can't put mascara on top of dry lashes. It doesn't go on.
So is that putting it on for the first time or reapplying?
If you wanted to just put a bit more on for the evening.
Okay.
Slightly dampen your lash. Tiny bit, so you don't have to run down your cheeks.
Interesting.
So just wet your finger.
I have wondered about that.
Touch your lashes. It just loosens it, so you can put a bit more on.
Ah.
Because you can't build mascara.
No.
That's great. Anyway, I'm out of tips when it comes to making your makeup last. I'd say put some spares in your bag and touch it up later.
Yep.
Let's finish with a bit of fashion. Let's talk suitcases. This was my idea, because you can spend ages putting together a pulled together plain outfit. Can't say I spent hours doing that, but you know, your suitcase could potentially let down the whole look.
I like this piece very much.
I do too.
Yeah.
Only because we are in the market for some new suitcases. I'm looking at Away, Away and Away, I think, at the moment. Although Rimowa do very good suitcases as well. But modern suitcases, A, they look good. B, they have really good wheels. They're really easy. Especially also have all have phone chargers on.
I know.
That's amazing, isn't it?
So expensive.
Yeah.
It literally blows my mind what people can spend on a piece of luggage.
I looked up the Globetrotter ones after I read this, and they're quite nice.
They are expensive, aren't
they?
Yeah,
expensive.
Yeah, they're like four figures.
I quite like a hold all. Sorry to change off topic a bit, but I have the Samsonite kind of zip up squidgy, so you still pull it.
Mm. It's got wheels.
It's got wheels, and it has pockets at the end. It's got a pocket on the side, and then inside, what I love is the squidgy element where you can just keep packing it in.
I'm sort of with you, actually.
I do quite like that.
I think you can always fit more in the hard suitcases than you think you can.
Are they lighter now than they used to be?
That's
why we went into the squidgy market.
Right, I'm with you, actually.
As long as it's got wheels.
As long as it's got wheels, so the kids can pull their own.
Yeah, we really need some new luggage. We've got a real mismatch of stuff. Should I tell you what happened to me? First holiday after our honeymoon, we'd put some really nice bricks luggage on our wedding list, and I went to pick it up from my in-laws, and I put it in the back of the car, didn't lock the car.
Your car got nicked.
Went into the flat. No, someone just took it out the back of the car.
To the suitcase.
Oh my god.
Empty.
Two bricks. Two brand new bricks. Totes. I know. That was a long time ago. I've still got over it. Anyway, we really need to up the game, actually, on luggage.
Ollie has this, we both have a cabin one, and his broke so long ago. The handle doesn't come up anymore, so he just has to carry it round.
Oh my god, that's
like
so
a little man bag. I might just buy yourself a new one.
That's also this. Is it a box?
Yeah.
A hard?
Yeah.
Oh god, that's irritating.
It looks ridiculous.
a lot of walking in an airport.
Next
Christmas present.
One. Yeah.
Regina, I think you make a point. I'm definitely in the market for some new luggage, but I might investigate the squidgy bags.
Squidgy bag.
I think there's another feature coming. A squidgy bag. Random. On that note, that's all we've got time for this week. If you enjoyed that, then do please like, subscribe, and tell your friends. We'll be back soon. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.